The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. I invite the congregation to be seated and the children to come forward. Sometimes I run the children's sermon. Sometimes the children runs the children's sermon. It really is always kind of up in the air. That's just part of being a pastor, right? So this week, we had something happen that was just monumentally upsetting to a lot of people who I know. It was an upset. It was a travesty. It was something that just we never saw coming. Pittsburgh beat Clemson. Oh, wait, did you think I was talking about something else? You know, I always try to joke about the things that are a big deal, because it's a reminder to me that no matter how big a deal certain things seem, whether it's a presidential election, whether it's congressional elections, whether it's problems that I have in my own life, whether it's fears that I have, whatever it is, what I recall at this point sounds a lot like what we say in the children's sermon, that the promise that God makes to us through baptism is that we are part of the family of God. And that makes a difference. It makes a difference in how we understand the world. You know, we understand the world a lot of times when we're outside of the doors of the church as being controlled by a lot of people in government. And sometimes we like them, sometimes we don't. It depends on whether our team wins that year or not, right? Sometimes, regardless of who wins, we have trouble with them anyway, but that's just kind of because we can be that way. You know, we think when we're on the outside of the church a lot of times about how much control people can have over our lives. We think about on the outside of the church all the things that we're afraid of. We're afraid of people who might come and hurt people we love, whether it's personally, or whether it's through terrorism, or whether it's by stealing things, or whether it's by breaking things, or whether it's by taking jobs, or whether it's by whatever means they use to hurt us. We fear these things. And sometimes there are periods in our lives where we hear that fear so clearly. We hear those things that we're afraid of. You know, we're afraid of what it means to get older. We're afraid of what it means to struggle with some of the things the kids were talking about. You know, I'm 39 years old. In January, I will be 40. And so I'm doing my job as an almost 40-year-old, and lately I've been really struggling with death. Turns out I'm not a fan. You know, it turns out that it is something that I worry a lot about. I understand that it has to be a part of life, but I'm really kind of frustrated by the fact that eventually it has to be a part of my life, right? You know, it's something that scares all of us. We're afraid of our bodies not working the way we want them to work. We're afraid of our minds, and some of us are afraid we lose our minds a lot earlier than others. You know, we're scared of these things because we don't have power over these things. And aren't those the things that scare us the most? Those things that are so far out of our control, we can't even imagine what it would be like to be able to stop them. You know, and I think this is one of the periods in our culture, in our history, where this fear is something that has been almost palpable for a lot of us. And I don't care who you voted for. The fear has been a part of our culture now for a long time. You know, it was this year that 9/11, the 15th anniversary, fell on a Sunday morning. And, you know, that was a time in our culture, I think maybe where our culture started kind of looking at this collective fear that we have. Because for a long time, let's face it, our oceans were a really good border, right? People just didn't really come over here very often and mess with us. But 9/11 was one of those moments that reminded us that we are vulnerable. It reminded us that even though we might have all the military might that we have and spend more money on our military than the next seven nations combined, seven people can come over and disrupt an entire nation. And I heard someone say shortly after 9/11, you know, 9/11 is a time that has changed the world forever. It's changed our country forever. And, you know, for a long time, I really thought that was true. You know, I think of the tsunami that happened in Japan recently, the last couple of years, the one that knocked out the Fukushima nuclear reactor, and all the fears that we had of what it would be that all this radioactive waste had a potential of escaping from the reactor core. And then all the stories of the two-headed fish and the irradiated this and the irradiated, you know, and our greatest fears coming to life. And I remember when I was a kid, we heard about Chernobyl and Three Mile Island and things like that, right? Those are things that are big and out of our control. And things that we might hear about and think, well, this is really going to change that part of the world more than anything else might because of the way it means that people can't even live there anymore. Or, you know, we think about things closer to home when someone we love gets a cancer diagnosis or where, and anyone who's been married knows that not every day is good, you know, or been in any relationship, we know that not every day is good. Those times when the most solid relationships that we have feel like they are on the rocks and we wonder whether they can last. And sometimes we're able to fix them and sometimes we're not. You know, what do we do when our foundations have been washed away and we feel like we're alone and afraid and we don't know what we can do? These things that we think we can never recover from, these things that change our worlds forever. And outside of these doors, there is an entire world that is hearing the narrative of fear because we are not in control. Inside of these doors, we have a different narrative. Our narrative is one that reminds us that our unity in Christ isn't rooted in whether we agree with each other. Doesn't matter whether I agree with you or not. Our unity in Christ is not rooted in my power or my position or my intellect or, thank God, my looks. Our responsibility as the church isn't rooted in where we come from. It's not rooted in what family we belong to, except that we're part of the family of God. Because through water and word, God has named us and claimed us blessed and holy and marked us with the cross of Christ and sealed us with the Holy Spirit forever, declaring to us a new reality that is not based in fear of the things that can affect us. Because the truth is that 9/11 didn't change the world forever. 9/11 helped us to understand that we're a part of the world in a way we never thought we were before. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changed the world forever, by demonstrating to us once and for all that the power to kill our bodies is not the ultimate power in this world, but the power of love, the power of God's presence, the power of God that conquers our fear, that conquers our death, that conquers those things that are beyond our control. We hear that the gospel message is that we are not in control. Thanks be to God, because God is in control. And those things that we fear, compared to the power and the presence and the transformation and the restoration of God, blow away in the wind like the dust that they are, and we are left only with what we had: God's love, God's presence, God's power, God's promise, that where God is, things are already being made new. And so we hear Jesus today in the gospel. And there, he's looking around the temple and people are saying, wow, what a nice place. You know, I like that Advent banner over there. And, you know, the rafters, they look like they were made maybe by hand. And, you know, we've got this nice speaker system and the heat works. And on a cold morning, that's nice. Isn't this ceramic baptismal bowl beautiful? And Jesus says to us, it's beautiful, but there's going to come a time when not a stone is left on top of each other. And he said that about the temple. It's just as true of the temple as it is this building. We don't have any control over that. And Jesus says, you know, you're going to have lots of people come in my name and say, it's me, I'm back. But that's not who they are. And we see a lot of false prophets in our lives, right? Those of us who lived through the 80s, we remember the televangelists. We remember, who was it with the Crystal Cathedral? Y'all remember that one who said, Jesus said that I need to raise $10 million or he's going to strike me dead. And then he raised $5 million and he said, God said this is good enough. You know, we remember Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, right? We remember all those people who made those promises. We hear of Creflo Dollar, who is, at least one person here has heard of him, who's flying around in that private airplane because Jesus wants him to be prosperous. Well, God does promise us a prosperity, but that's not what prosperity looks like. Because in God's economy, it's not about how much money I have. It's not about how much stuff I have. It's not about my house. It's not about my car. When we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ today, we hear him talk about how all these things that we value in the world, again, blow away like dust, because that's all they are. And then we hear Jesus talk about our fears, about wars and rumors of wars, of earthquakes and natural disasters and this and that and the other. And the people hear this, and their first thought is that Jesus is about to tell us how we can determine when the end of the world is going to be. Tell us, Jesus, what signs are we supposed to look for, right? And we see that prevalent in our culture too. The Left Behind books that came out about 10 or maybe longer now, it feels like 10 years ago. That really might be a lot longer than that. You know, we had that guy a couple years ago who said April 27th is the day the world is going to end, right? We had people saying the Mayan calendar says the world is going to end in 2012. Well, guess what happened? And guess who's still here? We are, right? What Jesus is saying to those people isn't that you're going to identify these end times by the wars and rumors of wars, but that this is just how the world is. You have a question? The lady in Ghostbusters was really afraid, wasn't she?
Yeah, we'll see, though.
Valentine's Day this year has already come and gone. And guess where we are?
Yeah, we're still here.
We're still here, right? You will hear rumors from the Ghostbusters movies that the end of the world is going to come on Valentine's Day, yet here we are. You know, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and nuclear reactors and all that stuff, those are just things that happen in the world because the world is broken. Because the world has a type of power that we'll never have. We will never be able to make everybody in the world want to be at peace with us. But what we see through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a promise that a different kind of power rules our world. Not the power of our military. Not the power of our bombs. We've never bombed anyone into loving us. You know, but the power of sacrificial love that we learn through God, that is the power in the world. Because within these doors, we hear the truth that really is truth. Not that we're out of control and we have to be afraid, but that we're out of control, but we know who is. So we have an opportunity, we have a responsibility, we have a sacred duty to leave from this place and carry that gospel into the world. That God loves the world. That God loves the people in the world. That love of God that transforms our hearts, that transforms our minds, that transforms us from people who were dead to sin into people who are alive in the promise of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, is not a promise that we have been called to keep to ourselves, but it's a promise that we have been called to share. It's a promise that we have been called to announce. It's a promise that we have been called to gift to the people of the world, because the truth of the world is that God loves everything that God creates. And it turns out God created other people too who aren't Lutheran. And God loves them too. I know it's hard to believe, but we have an Episcopalian and Presbyterians in our midst who are proof of this, right?
Amen.
Amen. In a Lutheran church, we got an amen. So when we hear of the things that make us scared, when we hear of the things that make us angry, when we hear of the things that we know are unjust, that we know are wrong, it is our responsibility to stand in the light of the death and resurrection of Jesus, in the waters of our baptism, in the body and blood of Jesus Christ that give us strength and hope and mission and purpose, to declare to the world that wants to tear people apart that we have a new reality, and we have a better reality, and we have a stronger strength, and that those spaces in our own hearts that might lie fallow and dead and dying, where we don't believe any light can shine, that we think if anybody saw what's in this heart, no one would love me, even God. When we look into the world and we see people saying racist things, and we see people saying things about people who don't believe like we do or think like we do, and I don't care what it is you believe or think, you know, we all are scared of people who are different than us. I am too. God speaks into my heart and says to me that in this space that lies dead and where you don't think anything good can bloom, this is where my kingdom begins, because it's in our brokenness that we need the cross. It's in our brokenness that we need the blood of Jesus. It's in our brokenness that we need that new life, that new power, that restoration, that reformation that didn't just start 500 years ago, but began with the creation of the world and continued through the death and resurrection and continues to be created within us anew every day to this day and forward, that calls us to be light for a world that thinks everything is so dark. So as we go out from this place and we hear those fears and we hear that brokenness, know that you and you and you and you and you and all of us bear this responsibility of sharing the promise of the God who loves everybody, whose love is transforming the world, who tells us that we may not be powerful, we may not be smart, we may not be good looking, we may not have a lot of money, there may be a lot of things that we lack we wish we had, but we have one thing that is beyond value. And that's our identity as the people of God in the promise that God made that is eternal, marking us and sealing us and naming us and claiming us and calling us out of this place into the world that God loves, so that that transformative, redemptive love of God can begin its work in the world anew every time we walk out these doors. This is who we are. All right.
I'm never going to wear shoes.
No shoes?
Nope.
You were wearing shoes earlier. Didn't I see you wearing shoes earlier? Maybe. Oh, okay.
I have no shoes.
I know you don't have no shoes. You have some shoes. I saw them. Oh, that's not what you meant. Okay. So I see that y'all have pictures. Would y'all like to stand up and share your pictures with the congregation and tell them what these are about? Now speak nice. I tell you what, here, stand over near me, and I'll stand over near you, and I'll give you my microphone, and then people can hear you easier. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first?
All right. So hold your picture up nice and high.
I like the acolyte, so I drew the picture that I like the acolyte, because that's my place in the church.
How cool. What's your picture? Hold it up nice and high.
Mine is some people standing beside the church.
You have some people standing behind the beside the church. What are they doing?
They are worshiping the church.
They're worshiping God at the church, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see there are all kinds of different colors there. Is there any reason for that, or do you just want to look pretty?
Because it's their favorite colors.
Oh, it's all their favorite colors. That's neat. I thought it was just because you were a good Lutheran and these are the colors of the church year here. But hey, that, except for that orange, I don't know what that orange is. How about you? What's your picture? Tell me quietly. It's okay. No. You don't want to share?
No.
It's really pretty.
No.
What's that right there?
Mm.
Oh yeah? All right. It's pretty. So today, one of the things I'd like to talk to y'all about, because today's gospel kind of talks about, you know, things that we're afraid of, right? Is anybody scared of anything?
Thunder.
Thunder. You don't like thunder, right? What else?
Lightning.
You don't like lightning. What else are we scared of?
Rain.
Rain? Sometimes rain, yeah. If it rains a whole lot. We had that flood last year, yeah. What else are we afraid of?
Power out?
Oh, sometimes the dark. Panthers. Yeah.
Bears.
Yeah. Are you ever scared sometimes of other people?
No.
Maybe? What? Why maybe? What?
If they're wearing a hockey mask.
Yeah.
They might try and steal something of yours and you're
like,
no,
it's
like you
had
to karate chop them.
Oh, I have never karate chopped somebody trying to steal from me.
You do?
How many people have you karate chopped?
Well, during sparring days.
Oh, during sparring days. Okay, but you've never actually like used that in the. Okay, I'll bear that in mind. Yeah.
I'm scared of witches.
Of witches, yeah. We're scared of a lot of things, aren't we?
Halloween.
You know, and
bears.
Of polar bears. Well, as long as you stay away from the ice, you'll be okay. That fortunately, they're easy to avoid around here.
Grizzly bears.
Huh? Grizzly bears. Yeah. Well, they're a little closer. But so we can say that, you know, now that we can stop naming the specific things and now say that there are a lot of things we're afraid of. Some
flying squirrels.
You're afraid of flying squirrels?
Yeah,
that is crazy.
Well, have you ever been attacked by a flying squirrel?
No.
Well, see, maybe if you've been attacked by a flying squirrel, you'd be afraid of them. Yeah. Well, all these things that we're afraid of. You know, Jesus talks to us about our fear in today's gospel lesson. You know, we hear Jesus talking about war and earthquakes and conflict and arguments and all sorts of things about thunder and lightning and things that we see in the sky. And Jesus even tells his disciples that, you know, sometimes one of the things that we're afraid of is that people aren't going to like us because of the things that we believe. You know, and what Jesus is telling them is there are all sorts of things that we're afraid of. But you know what these fears give us an opportunity to do is to remember the promise that God makes to us. Now, can y'all tell me what the first promise God makes to us is in church?
What's never flood the earth again.
That is a good promise that God has made and sealed it with a rainbow. Now, during our worship service, sometimes we do something in church, yeah?
We did it again.
He didn't do it. We baptize people, right? And during that baptism, we hear a couple of promises. One promise is that, yeah?
I got another promise. He made the promise of Jesus to save us.
That's right. He made the promise of Jesus to save us. And one of the ways we gain access to that is through baptism, yeah?
A teeth about to fall on my trampoline.
Is that a promise that God makes, that a tree is about to fall on your trampoline? Here's the promises that we get through baptism. The promises we hear through baptism is that God loves us and God makes us a part of God's family through baptism. And we hear the pastor say some words that I think are really important. You've been marked by the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit forever. And why that's so important is because what happens when God makes a promise? God keeps promises. Is it for a little while? Is it for a medium length of time?
No.
How long does God keep promises?
Forever.
So if God makes us a promise that we're part of God's family, how long does that last?
A really long time.
Not just a really long time, but...
Forever.
Forever God makes that promise, right? So when we're scared, what's the promise that God has made to us?
Not to be scared.
That we're part of God's family, and because we're part of God's family, God is with us, and so we don't have to be scared. When we're afraid of flying squirrels, God is with us. We don't have to be scared. When we're afraid of death, something that all of us fear, God is with us. And God promises that even in those things that we're really afraid of, that God is always there beside us. So this week, as we go out from this place, and maybe we encounter something that we're afraid of, yes?
I don't know what you're talking about.
At all? Talking about, you know what baptism is? Baptism, have you seen anyone get water splashed on their forehead? Not yet?
Eli.
Has McKenna been baptized?
Yeah.
All right, so when you were young, the pastor held you and splashed water on your head and made you this same promise, right? That you are the child of God forever. Were y'all here when she was baptized? When Eli was baptized? Yeah, they were here when all of us were baptized.
Wait, was I baptized?
You were baptized. Now, since we're involving the congregation, here's a question. Do y'all remember what y'all did when they were baptized? What did you promise when they were baptized? You promised to bring them up in the faith, right? To teach them to pray. To teach them the creeds, which is how we understand our faith, and to share with them the Bible, right? And so right now, the promises that they made to y'all, they're living into it because they are reminding you of your place in God's family by being witnesses to you of what that faith looks like. All right? Why don't we say a prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for baptizing us in your love, in the water that you have made holy, for giving us your promise through Jesus' death and resurrection that we are your children and you are our God, and that your love changes everything. It changes our sadness into joy. It changes our fear of being alone into the knowledge that you are with us. It changes those things that make us sad and angry into opportunities to share your love with the people around us. We ask that you bless us and keep us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you all for coming up.